continuing with our series, which is the Quranic conversations, Quranic dialogues. Today's dialogue is a dialogue that takes place between Musa alayhi salam and his qawm. Once again, we all know about Bani Israel and how much they were arrogant towards Musa alayhi salam. But this ayah, this starts with ayah number 20 from Surah Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was perhaps the time where Musa alayhi salam got absolutely fed up with Bani Israel. Now, usually when you say the story of Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel in the Quran, is scattered throughout the entire Quran. You're going to find some in Surah Al-A'raf, you're going to find some in Surah Al-Shu'ara, you're going to find some in Surah Al-Baqarah. It's going to be scattered across the Quran. However, if you really want to understand the story of Musa alayhi salam, of course, after Exodus, after saving Bani Israel, after Allah saved Bani Israel, there was a lot of things that happened at that time. And one of the things I mentioned is that, of course, they were hungry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them manna wa salwa. They were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that if you want a place to live, this is what you need to do. Go and conquer a certain land. This is where they showed their arrogance again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Musa alayhi salam. And at that time, Musa alayhi salam, he basically said, I have given up on these people. Now, though he said himself, I have given up on these people, that is still not the point in the life of Musa alayhi salam, where that was a separation between him and Bani Israel. After that, there were many stories that took place where Bani Israel would continue to show their level of disobedience and arrogance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But so we're talking about soon after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Bani Israel from Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Allah saying in the Quran to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى, remember the time, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ أُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. In this verse, Allah is telling that Musa alayhi salam said to Bani Israel, remember your blessings, remember your ni'mas. And then he mentioned three ni'mas that were given to Bani Israel that perhaps were not given to anyone else at that time. Number one is, Allah sent within your generation, within your people, prophets. This is a sign of honor that Allah sent within your people. Allah sent from your people prophets. And how many prophets? So many thousands of prophets. And from this ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ, there's only one prophet, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But instead of using this as an honor and showing their gratitude to Allah, they were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Musa alayhi salam says, وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا. Allah gave you power. Allah gave you authority. And then he says, وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُتِي أَحَدَ مِنْ عَالَمِينَ. Allah gave you things that Allah did not give to anyone else on the face of this earth. Then Allah said, Musa alayhi salam, يَا قَوْمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. That's entered into this holy land. Now the ulama of tafsir, they have differed on what is considered as this holy land. Is it considered as Jerusalem? Is it considered as Asham? Because this was considered as a holy land. And remember, Asham, today when we say Asham, it's only reference to Syria. But at that time, a long time ago, when you said the word Asham, it actually included many countries. It included Syria. It included Palestine. It included Jordan. It included Lebanon. It included all this area. So this was considered as a very sacred place on the face of this earth. Some ulama, they say, this is what is referenced in the Quran. Nonetheless, Allah is saying, يَا قَوْمِ ادْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. That Allah has written for you. Now, by the way, there are some people, there are some Muslims also who believe that whatever is happening right now in Palestine, okay, and whatever the zalimun are doing to overtake and wipe out the Muslims and overtake Aqsa and so forth, isn't this written in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the people of Bani Israel, go and live there, which is destined for you. And the answer to this is, which is written in many tafasir, is This was the order of Allah that was at that time because they were believers. They're no longer believers. And not only that, but this entire land was given to the Muslims. And this is something that's mentioned in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ Allah makes it very clear. When it comes to giving land, أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ My righteous slaves are the ones who are going to take over land based on who I give it to. This land was given to the Muslims. It was taken by the Muslims. It was in the power of, under the control of the Muslims. It has always been until, of course, you have people like the UK and the Balfour Declaration that took place, which is taking the land from our Palestinian brothers and sisters and taking it unjustly from them. This land that even till today you find so many Zionists, so many Jewish people saying, this land is promised to us. That is not the truth. Yes, at one time when they were believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them. But because they transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah took this land away from them. This land does not actually belong to them. It belongs to the Muslims and it belongs to the Palestinian people. Nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَرْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدَبَارِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِينَ Do not turn your backs to the order of Allah and you will be amongst the losers. Then, what was the response of Bani Israel? قَالُوا They said, يَا قَوْمْ قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ Musa, don't you know who lives there? These are people who are very strong. They're very mighty. We have no way that we can just walk in and overtake this place and conquer this place. They're going to wipe us. They will decimate us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ وَإِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا حَتَّى يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا We will not enter the city until they leave. فَإِن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنَّا دَاخِلُونَ If they leave, we will enter the city. Now, you see this arrogance of Bani Israel taking place. Allah is giving them this place on a silver platter. They, instead of saying, okay, we will do exactly what Allah wants us to do, we don't want to do that. First, they have to leave, then we will enter in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, there were two people from Bani Israel who were intelligent. They were on the same wavelength as Musa alayhi salam. They understood the message of Musa alayhi salam. Who were they? Majority of the Mufassirun, they say, one was Yusha ibn Nun. And by the way, this is the same person who accompanied Musa alayhi salam in the story of Khadr. Okay? This is the same person. So, it was him and another person by the name of Qalib bin Yuqana. These two people, they said, قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ These are two people who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has blessed them. They said to the people of Bani Israel, don't be foolish. أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ Why are you thinking like this, people, the people of Bani Israel? Enter through the doors of the city and you fight and you try it and you fight for this land. Fight for this piece of earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these two people are trying to explain, basically knocking some sense into their minds. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ If you enter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you victorious. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, what was their response? اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ Ya Musa, idhab anta wa rabbuka. You want to talk about fighting? Okay, we have another solution. See, first they were told, go and enter into the city. They said, no, they have to first leave, then we will enter the city. Now they're telling Musa alayhi salam, oh, you want us to go and fight? We have another solution. You and your Rabb go and fight. You and Allah go and fight. Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun. We are going to sit here and wait. When you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are done fighting and this land has been opened now for us, then we will come in. Because of this arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ No, Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ Musa alayhi salam got so sick at this response that he says, Ya Allah, divide me from these people. فَفْرُقْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. All I can do is I can control Harun. But besides that, I don't have any other control over these people. Just separate me from these people. Because of their arrogance, Allah says, قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً. For 40 years, they were wandering around in a valley, not knowing where to go. And they were in this valley for 40 years. Now, what happens after those 40 years? Many ulama, they say that within these 40 years, there were many other stories. The story of Musa alayhi salam taking people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of their arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all of them die. And then again, Allah resurrected them. This happened within these 40 years. The story of the calf, when they came to Musa alayhi salam and they said, a man has been murdered in our community. We don't know who it is. It happened within these 40 years. Within these 40 years also, Harun alayhi salam dies. Within these 40 years, Musa alayhi salam also dies within these 40 years. And what happens after that? Then comes the story of Talut. Okay? Then comes the story of Talut. But all these other conversations that take place between Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel and all these different stories, inshallah, I will cover them in the upcoming weeks. But this is the end of the story where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, enough is enough. These people need to be taught a lesson, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trapped them in a valley. Can you imagine the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the earth of Allah is very vast. But to be trapped in a valley, not knowing where to go, for 40 years, 40 years is a significant amount of time. This is the adab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the conversation that took place between Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. Now, what are the things that we can learn? Quickly, I'm going to run through them. The very first thing that we can learn from all this is, when it comes to remembering your blessings, it's not necessarily true that Allah will give you something and then you remember your blessings. Sometimes you can remember your hardships and now your life is a little more easier compared to before. That in itself is also considered as a blessing. Because these people were under the rule of Fir'aun. They were slaves. Now we're talking about a time where now they are the ones who are in charge. They are the ones who have the families. They are the ones who have the slaves. The slaves and the servants are working for them now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Musa is reminding them that remember the time when you were the slaves. Now you are the slave owners. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you many blessings. Do not forget about the challenges you went through and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you all. So it's not one of the best ways that we can always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by remembering the difficult times and remembering now we are in a much better situation. I'm going to give you this random example here. Many of us sitting over here, you came here to the United States in probably in the 60s, in the 70s. Okay, when you had nothing, when you had absolutely nothing. You know, the stories, you know, I used to hear over and over again. When I came to the United States with only $5, with only $1, $1 became $5, $5 became $100 and so forth. This is also a way to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we were as a Muslim community, and now where we are today as a Muslim community, where there were no masajid, alhamdulillah, now there are so many masajid. There were no Muslim grocery stores, now there are Muslim grocery stores everywhere. There was not a single Muslim restaurant at that time, now there's restaurants everywhere. All these blessings, even if I don't have anything tangible in my own possession, just looking around at our situation, this is also a moment to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we see in this ayah, Musa alayhi salam, before he mentioned about the dunya blessings, he mentioned the spiritual blessings. What did he say? Before he mentioned that Allah gave you power, he said, Allah gave you anbiya. Allah gave you anbiya. Spirituality over dunya. This is the key thing about our life. In our life also, there's always going to be dunya, but spirituality comes before our dunya in all situations. Also, we learn that in the same situation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows the cowardness of Bani Israel. And this is something we see throughout the generation. Even right now, the fact that wallahi, this nation, may Allah destroy them from within their core, going after children and justifying it, wallahi, there's no bigger coward nation on the face of this earth than this qawm. And this is something that's been going on from before. Their cowardness and just the way they are, this is something that we have seen throughout history. Also, we learned that these two people, Yusha bin Nun and Qalib bin Yuqana, what they're teaching these people, when the people of Bani Israel said, we're not going to go and fight, we're not going to go, these people have to leave first. What did they say? They said that first your job is to go and fight and do your thing. Do what's required of you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory. And then what did they say at the end of the verse? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. What these two people are teaching is the definition of tawakkul. What is tawakkul? Tawakkul is you first tie your camel, then you put your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're teaching everyone in Bani Israel, you cannot expect Allah to help you without you getting up, you getting ready, you going to that land and fighting, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory, but you cannot expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something for you without you doing your due diligence. And wallahi, even right now, as we talk about the ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ, the situation, what's happening in Palestine and anywhere else, so many people, they come and they ask me, which I don't have the answer to, but so many people will come and ask me that, what can we do right now besides the boycott, besides making dua, besides awareness, what more can we do? We feel helpless. And here's all I have to tell you. Do what is within your capacity. Because there's only very limited that we can do at this point. This is part of tawakkul, that we do what we can do, and then we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we leave the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, our job is that we can wake up for tahajjud. Our job is that, wallahi, today I see Muslims right now. There was a time when this first started in October, and there was so much boycott taking place, but now slowly and gradually we're getting back to the use of, we're getting back to life, and we're just getting back to all of our normal, our previous behaviors and habits. Now I see Muslims again going back to the same old things. No, we got to keep on doing what we had to do before. Imagine as if October 7th happened just yesterday, and the massacre against our brothers and sisters is happening right now as it is. But imagine as if it has just started right now. What was the spirituality of the Muslim community when it came to the boycotts, how we were treating the boycotts and so forth? We got to keep this going. Allah wants to see what we can do on our behalf. We do what we can, we leave the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. And finally, the price of arrogance, as I said, Allah protect them. This is the final point. Their price of arrogance, Allah kept them in a valley, not knowing where they're going to go. This is the price of arrogance. And wallahi, right now, when you see these people in their arrogance, justifying the killing of children and women and men, and whatever crimes they're committing, justifying it. Wallahi, when you see in the White House and these people, may Allah destroy them, wallahi. When they can stand there and justify it over and over again, and say that, yeah, we're just looking into it. Children are being killed. Yeah, we're just looking into it. If Russia did it, then they will sit there and cry on the podium. When Israel is doing it against our children, our beautiful Muslim children, we're looking into it. This arrogance, there's a history in the Quran. There's a history throughout mankind. When people are arrogant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a chance. Just like Fir'aun was arrogant, and he was arrogant for so many years. Then once the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, it came upon Fir'aun and all his people. But remember, the price of arrogance is a price that you have to pay. These people are going to pay the price of arrogance. Wallahi, even Bani Israel, when they were arrogant towards Musa alayhi salam, they paid a hefty price. These people, they are arrogant, they will pay a hefty price. When is that going to happen? We just have to leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the price of arrogance is something that will be paid. And when the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, it does not spare anyone. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq to learn from these ayat and to apply its teachings in our life. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.